Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
What's up, all? Aaron, but not that Aaron, here to tell you about SIFPOP Writers Room. For the past several years, there have been a growing amount of writers for SIFPOP.com providing best ever challenges, movie reviews, themes, legacies, connections, and so much more. SIFPOP Writers Room is where that all comes together, giving a voice to those words that you read. And on the show, every week is excellent, getting to chat such a wide variety of movies with a wide variety of movie lovers, and I'm really having a lot of fun with the show, and I just think that you would too. So check out SIFPOP Writers Room wherever you listen to your podcast, and we'll see you over there. Just remember to knock first.
It was my parents that introduced me to Jesus, and to, you know, I'll never forget walking out into the dining room and seeing my dad, like early on a Sunday morning, like writing out the tithe check.
If you've listened at all to Christian music in the last decade, you'll recognize her voice. With Hillsong United, her song Oceans, somewhere in the ballpark of 311 million streams on Spotify. She's getting ready to release her brand new, first ever solo album. My guest is Taya.
What else with Corey Mann from the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play. Feel free to leave some feedback, write a review, or tell a friend about What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
I tried to watch some YouTube videos on how to say your new last name.
Oh, what came up?
Let me hear you say it.
Yes, it is Taya Gork Roger.
One more time?
Taya Gork Roger.
Yeah, that's not what I heard.
The German and French way is Gorge, but we are Australian.
Yeah.
And we just butcher names.
You're a hard person to find out stuff about.
Really?
Yeah, you're kind of a mystery on the internet, on the YouTube, and, you know, articles and whatnot.
Right.
You're very well spoken, but you kind of keep to yourself.
Yes.
So I'm going to throw some American lobs at you.
Okay.
You know what a lob is?
The way that you throw it?
Yes. Super easy. So you can go as deep as you want with some of these okay. starter questions, yeah. or you can be like, next.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to, next.
I like that. Three things.
Yes.
You might not know about me.
Three things that you might not know about me.
Yes.
I play a terrible cello.
Did you take lessons?
I did. How's this for ingenious of my parents? They made us play piano when we were, I think I was 10 years old, and they said if we keep up our piano exams and our theory exams and everything, then we can pick up another instrument when you were 13. They just wanted me to do more work, and somehow I was just like, oh, so sick. I would love to pick up another thing that I've got to do after school, which actually, because I love music, it was a good thing. So thanks, Mom and Dad. So I play a terrible cello.
But you can play it.
I can.
Okay.
Yes, I need to practice. I did bring it to America.
Really?
Yeah. The second thing that people may not know about me is that, okay, this is what everyone always says when they meet me, is like, wow, you're really tall. I travel with extremely tall humans in the form of about 10 older brothers with Hillsong United. And they are huge, particularly Joel is over 6 foot. And so I am just shy of 6 foot. I'm 5'11". So I just wanted to put that out there. Everyone thinks I'm a whole lot shorter and then they get really shocked.
But you're rocking some sort of fashionable shoe with a little bit of something
like
on there. Yeah.
A little sneaker.
Yeah.
With my woolly socks because it's a bit chilly.
Okay.
And the third thing that you may not know about me, the first song that I ever recorded was when I was 16, and it was written about my cat. I've never publicly shared this story. Fluffy. Rest in peace, Fluffy.
Is this a real story?
This is a real story. And I won a radio competition. I think I was actually, 14, 15. And the prize was you get to go into a studio and write a song. And my dad's told me very early on, like, when you're writing songs, you need to rip people's hearts out. But he said, I know, very, like, straight to the point. Thanks, Ron. And he said, but to do that, like, you obviously need to have gone through some things in your life to be able to connect with people. But the biggest thing that you've gone through and experienced at the time was the death of your favorite pet. So I think you should write about your cat and just not tell people that it's Fluffy. So, like, write about Fluffy as if Fluffy was a human. And so I sang this song, like, I held on for as long as I could till you went under. Like, I just poured my heart out. And people are like, this is beautiful. But I never told them it was about my cat.
Do you remember how it went? Do you remember the medley or the...
I want you to know I held on for as long as I could till you went under. Da, 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 da. As you pass me by, something like that.
Is there anything on the new album that you just went ahead and took that melody for and went, let's use it on this now?
I was like, this is a smash hit. Mm-hmm. Definitely not. No, all fresh, all new. I love you, Fluffy.
If humans came with a warning label,
yes.
What would yours say?
If humans came with a warning label, what would mine say? Mine would say acidic, sarcastic, but cuddly.
Mm.
Acidic because I've got a little bit of acid reflux, and what I...
You know, there's medicine for that.
Well, there is. Shout out to the Nexium and the people who...
I'm on it.
Who, you know, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I am also an indulger in the things that could also... unfortunately, give reflux a greater halt in your stomach, which is chocolate, coffee, peppermint chewing gum, all the good stuff, you know.
You know, just the stuff that's going to mess, like, with your stomach. Ah! You're taking the medication, but yet you're like, just this once today.
Yes. See, discipline is always a thing when someone would, I mean, we're going in, like when someone would share a message about, you know, the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and particularly the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and they're like, just pick one of your, like, it's always self-control, which is unfortunate because it's like, can't I just, like, you know, work on kindness, God, or faithfulness? But it's always the little disciplines. So I will say, I did recently find out something that you can put in your coffee that takes away all the acid in it. I will show you the photo after this interview to help you. And anyone else, feel free to contact me because I can, I'll probably post about this because we all probably drink too much coffee as well. So
you think?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Acidic, sarcastic.
Yeah. So Australians are so sarcastic. Our humor is, if we love you, we will pay you out and probably make up some kind of, like, nickname, and everything's a joke in the best way.
Okay.
Nothing's.
But being that you're surrounded with 10 brothers, that's going to come out.
Oh, right? I'm getting, like, there is no chance of me getting a big head whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll come out, like, ready for a worship night to focus on Jesus, and JD will look at me and goes, oh, you're wearing that? And I'm just like, for a second, because I'm also gullible, maybe that should have been the other thing, I was just like, oh, yes, what's wrong? Like, and he's just like, oh, and he just starts laughing. So I'm like, right, okay.
What has been your this can't be happening moment?
My this can't be happening moment. Well, if I just talk in context, this week I am releasing my very first single ever. This can't be happening. I left home when I was 21 and I told my parents I'm going to Sydney to become a sign recording artist. And I did retail because I had no idea how to make that happen. Nor did I have the, I'm more of a worker bee rather than the CEO type. And it was pretty special that on Christmas Eve of 2021, I signed my record deal with CCMG.
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and behind the scenes, I've been working for two years, on my now first debut album. And so getting to release it this Friday, kicking it off with the single For All My Life, is kind of a, I cannot believe this is happening. What is happening?
Here comes a little bit of sarcasm for you. I hope you hear this.
Yes.
What took you so long? I could have sworn this would have been 10 years ago with you.
Yeah, God always has perfect timing. I think it's an absolute gift. I'm coming up to being married to my husband, Ben, for 4 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. He is God's kindness to me in physical form, truly. And I just think I couldn't imagine me trying to figure all this out, like the business side of everything. And because that's stewardship as well, not just the creative side, but the other side of, you know, setting everything up and understanding the music business. Like, it's just something that side of things is kind of not my gifting. And so just to have someone that, you know, he called this album our album, you know, about like a year ago, and I basically was just like in a puddle on the floor because I was just like, oh, this is something that we're carrying together. And I'm just grateful that that's God's timing. But I never wanted to write for the wrong reasons, and I just, maybe I was afraid that I was gonna be writing for the wrong reasons or anything. And I just, such a holy thing that we get to be a part of the presence of God, and I guess stewarding songs within that, like I think it's a holy thing. And then also there was a little part of me that was afraid, and it sounds funny because like I'm known for my voice. Yeah, it was a thing that I was afraid to raise and let people hear what my expression is, because it was going to be different than, say, maybe what people were expecting. But I was just a little self-conscious, which is so silly because I'm a confident person. I know who I am and I know who I'm not. And I'm not trying to be the latter. And yeah, it just took me a little while to find my feet. But the silver lining of the last 2 years of, you know, the world shutting down was that in my own home, in my own time on Zoom, with a beautiful mute button, I learned how to co-write successfully. We finished songs. So, yeah, God's timing, not mine.
Have you ever counted up how many flights from Australia to America you've actually completed?
Listen, I've never counted how many flights, long-haul flights, I have done. I just want to say a disclaimer to everybody, because anyone that I've met in America that's like, oh, I'd love to go to Australia, but it's like 14. They don't sing, but it's 14 hours, and I get that. But just think about this. You could watch so many movies on the way over.
Mm-hmm.
You could. It's just like having a sleepover with 200 people on a flight. Like, who doesn't want that? But I will say this, just to give you a little context. On a really busy year early on when I was traveling with Young and Free and United, I did 265,000 miles that year, which is 2.5 times the top tier, hitting whatever that mark is where you can start to apply for upgrades for free and all that kind of things. So that was a crazy year that I don't really want to do again. But the great thing is I live here now. I could do these sweet little, you know, they're like, oh, it's like a 3-hour flight. I was like, 3 hours? Like, this is a dream. Like, let's do it. So I'm all in.
Of all your world travels, you have been around the world a couple
mm-hmm,
times.
Mm-hmm.
If we were going to have a show and tell, what are you going to put on display to show off?
We went to Israel and we got to stand on the Mount of Olives, which, correct me if I'm wrong, I just need to double check this, but where Jesus was, he was actually standing on a mountain on the hillside, and he gave
the sermon.
The Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
And he gave the Beatitudes.
Yeah.
We got to film on that mountain, on the hillside, and there was actually a field of wheat, and I took a head of wheat. I kept it in my Bible, and just before we left Israel, I lost that piece of wheat, and I was devastated. One of my friends, Katrina, who was with us, and she lived in Israel as well and was a pastor there, she gave me her head of wheat, and so I still have it in my little jewelry box at home.
You should have it in Matthew, where the passage is at.
Well, listen, I just don't trust myself. I lost one head of wheat, like I could lose the other one.
When did you start singing?
Mom says I was 3 and I was running around the house, and excuse my words, but she said, I've never shut up since. So that's really encouraging.
I've heard that before
yeah.
about me, but I'm glad there's somebody
listen,
else.
3-year-olds for the win.
You've led worship for a while. A college brings you in, and you're going to teach a course for people who want to do what you do. Mm-hmm. Give me three things out of the gate. You kids need to know this about what I do, if you're going to do this.
Worship, the definition of worship, is not a song. It's the best way to describe it is Romans 12. And I love the message, which is like, in view of God's mercy, take your everyday life, you're walking around, eating, sleeping, general life, and place it before God as a sacrifice. And the other translations say, you know, this is your holy and pleasing worship to him. And the first time worship was mentioned in the Bible was when Abraham was taking his son Isaac up the mountain to sacrifice him to God, because that's what God had asked of him. He told his servants to stay there, and he said, because Isaac and I are going up to worship. And there was no song, there was no band, there was no service. He was going up to be obedient to what God had asked him, and he was going to sacrifice his son. So worship actually is sacrifice and obedience, which, and then when you read it in light of the New Testament with, in view of God's mercy, you know, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, that's your holy and pleasing worship. It's, worship is so much more. That it's like a response of our lives to God's mercy through his son, Jesus Christ. And so I think we need to have a revelation of that as people first before we even get up on platform. The second thing I would say is my preparation before I even get to the platform is more important than, say, that moment. Like, everyone always says it should be this iceberg type moment. Like, the platform is the tip of the iceberg, but usually with icebergs, they are, I mean, it took the Titanic out. Just think about that. They didn't even know what was under there. Like, it should be your life that is hidden with Christ should be so massive that it's, you know, that little thing that people see is just the smallest, like, tip of what God's doing in your life. And also that you would be humble enough to submit yourself to him and allow him to be doing everything within you at every moment of every day. And for me, the third thing that would look like getting my devotional everyday moments with God. My favorite devotional is Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. Your time with Jesus is the most important thing, because that will be the thing that will permeate the rest of your life, or it won't. Hopefully it does. And so I would say your prayer life, your devotions, you know, you should be singing to Jesus more than off platform and away from other people, I think, more than you are on platform. Because you can only take people where you have gone before. And it's such a holy, amazing thing that we get to be in the presence of God. You know, back in the Bible times, like, they used to tie ropes around the priests who were the ones ministering in the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. And they tied ropes around them in case they had a secret sin, and they died just like that. And so I'm like, the fact that we get to be in the presence of God, like, I've also got to remember he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And so he's the same God now. He's as holy as he was before, but somehow, like, maybe we've forgotten some of that. And we need to bring that reverence back into, like, this is the presence of Almighty God. And he chooses to be here, and he doesn't have to be, but he says that he will be, and he's true to his word. But, like, we've got to give him the honor and the respect that he deserves, Almighty God. And the other thing would be planted in a local church. Because it's there that you find accountability. It's there that you think it's someone, like, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. Maybe I got the number wrong, but it's there that, you know, that's the only reason I'm a part of United, because I was in a local church and I was part of the youth ministry and I was just serving and I just happened to be there. I was actually the fifth person to sing Oceans. I wasn't the first, I wasn't the second, I wasn't the third. Like, it just hadn't clicked with, for whatever reason, for whoever else was singing it, or it wasn't right. And the only reason I was there is because someone had heard me singing at youth, and I was just a leader, and I just happened to have a week off. And it was just, if you have a desire to serve God and you want to be found, like, he knows where you are. He's got your number. He'll move heaven and earth to be able to put you into the position that he needs you to be in. But you've got to be faithful with where you're at. And also, I think you can't really do it unless, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you can do it without being planted in a local house, because Jesus said he's coming back for the bride, and we are the bride. And it's more than just, I'm not saying just the four walls, but, like, we've got to be about our Father's business. So, yeah. Sorry.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That might be my favorite thing you've said today, was you were the fifth.
I was.
That's so huge. I mean, to hear that.
Yeah.
I learn about somebody real quick when I ask this question. I ask it every single time, okay?
Okay.
So here we go. Who's mom and dad?
My dad is Ron, and he told me for the longest time, I just thought his name was Ronaldo, which is like the soccer player, but it definitely wasn't. It's Ronald. I always just thought it was Ronaldo. And my mom is Leslie, but I used to call her, I still do, Leslie Leanne, because I didn't like her middle name, Allison. So then I just gave her a new one. But I just told all my friends, and so everyone's like, hi, Leslie Leanne. She's like, it's not. She's like, it's Leslie Allison. But anyway, we have a sick sense of humor together. But my parents are amazing. I grew up in a home that we weren't rich, but my parents were cleaners. And they taught me, you'll get me. It taught me to work really hard. And, you know, when I was like 12, they're cleaning arcades at night. And they're giving me all the opportunities that they never got themselves to be able to do music lessons. And my dad was the worship leader in the family, and he had no formal training. And yet he would just always be on pitch, and he'd always know when to come in. And it was my parents that introduced me to Jesus and to... You know, I'll never forget walking out into the dining room and seeing my dad, like early on a Sunday morning, like writing out the tithe check and just preparing to share around giving or preparing to lead that morning. And he always writes in capital letters. So I just always remember that as well. And that's really precious to me as well, because, when I was 16, my parents got really hurt by a local church that we were a part of. And this is the church that, you know, I kind of grew up in. And I have to be so grateful, because it fostered a love of the presence of God, but also the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had free reign in this. I'm talking like I was on the Timbrel team. My mom was waving the flag and it was purple because that was the color of royalty. Like, we're all going in, you know, like, loved it. But there was just a little bit of small-minded leadership, and in the end, my parents got really hurt and so burned out, and they just left the church. It was kind of like there was no other choice, essentially. And when you're part of a small, even local, you know, country community, everybody knows everyone, and so when people are ignoring you in the supermarket, it's quite hard to process that. But the thing is, offense is hard and bitterness is hard, because you're looking at someone else whilst you're drinking the poison, expecting that person to be affected or die, but you're the only one that's being affected on the inside. And I say that humbly, because, you know, my mom's back in church and she's been impacted from the church that I got to then attend, because my parents weren't forcing us to go to church anymore. So it kind of became this, you know, when the rubber hits the road, like, my parents aren't forcing me, when I was 17. And I was just like, if I'm honest, like, I had one party and then somebody kissed me and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to hell. I need Jesus and I need good people around me. Like, I'm just telling you what happened. And so then I just told my older sister, I said, we need to get to church. Like, that's it. Like, we're going to church. And so we got to choose a local church that we wanted to be a part of. And they'd always had like an amazing, music ministry and worship team. And so that was when I walked into the youth ministry and they were reading the message paraphrase. And I know it's not, you know, it's a contested thing if people like it or not, but that was the first time that I was reading the Bible and it made sense to me. And I'm so grateful to Eugene Peterson, because that cultivated the love of the Word of God for me and in my life. And I'm so grateful for that, because then, again, we don't see what the future holds, but God does. And we're going in. A year later, I had five friends that were in a car accident in my final year of high school, and it was in the first week, and four of them died, and one of them survived. And, you know, that just upended the entire last final year of my high school, and I'd done quite well in school up until that point. Like, I didn't even know you could get ducks in kindergarten, but I, you know, got like kindy to year 10 ducks or whatever. And then you know, my parents had always held on to this dream that I would become a doctor because that's what I said when I was five. So just shout out to the parents who don't hold their children to what they say when they're like really little, because they probably don't know what they're saying. But anyway, I just kind of bombed out a little bit, and just our brains aren't fully formed until we're 25. So to try and process grief on a whole multiple, you know, levels, I just wasn't ready for that at that age. And anyway, I passed. I didn't do as well as what I would have wanted to, but the fact that I passed was a miracle, and a little bit more than a pass, but not what I was expecting. So I didn't apply to go to university, which was devastating to my parents, because that's the other thing is, like, they never got the opportunity to study secondary education or have a chance. My dad probably would have been a scientist or an inventor. My mom, she probably would have done interior design. She still could do that if she wanted to. So it was like a hectic moment. So I know we were talking about it before, but like when I got to tell my parents, you know, that I, mom and dad, I, you know, I called them on Christmas Eve and I said I did it. Like, I became a signed recording artist. I think they finally were okay that I didn't go to university. I was like, ah, it's seemingly working out for you, so it's okay now, which is really sweet. But all that to say, I love my parents and I honor them because, you know, I was five in my bedroom when my mom led me to ask Jesus into my heart. And, you know, I've known for my entire life that the way that my parents look at us is that they just get to steward us. We're actually his. We're theirs for now, but we're actually the Lord's. And I've always known that. And it's a process. Like, I don't think you can sit in the presence of God and not be changed. And, you know, my dad is probably my biggest YouTube play supporter for anything that I do. And so I just love that the Lord is writing his own love story with my dad, and he isn't back in church yet. And I can probably say that because he's probably not going to hear this because he lives in Australia. But if he hears this, hi, Dad. And I believe one day there'll be this amazing moment when, you know, he's back in church, regularly attending and enjoying gathering together and breaking bread together, like it says in the New Testament that we should be. But yeah, my parents are beautiful, and they, I think they've done a brilliant job with what they were given. And, you know, my dad, one thing I know that I never lacked growing up was I knew my parents loved me, but I knew as a girl, I knew my father loved me, and I wasn't looking for that love anywhere else. And I know that for a lot of my friends growing up, that wasn't the case, and that wasn't the case at home. And I grew up in a beautiful, Christian, safe home. It wasn't perfect, do not get me wrong, but I'm very grateful to my parents.
Well, I've got a surprise for you. Ron?
Oh, wow.
Ron, come in. You looked. You slowly turned around.
That was where I was like, imagine.
I'm kidding. We have no Ron here.
Okay.
I led my daughter to the Lord when she was seven in the drive-thru at McDonald's.
Listen,
and
that
I remember
get you saved.
Every word. And it was, man, did I fumble a little bit? But what's the line the pastor says? God can draw an awfully straight line with an awfully crooked stick.
Listen, if he used a donkey, he can use us.
Thank you. Who told you you could sing and you believed them?
A girl called Candace Casagrande. I was 13 and I was up at one of my best friend's house at the time, and we lived on this little cul-de-sac, and I was, 13. I was in Tani's room, and Tani was playing her older sister's guitar. And I was singing, and her older sister, Candace, ran into the room. She said, hey, was that you? And she's pointing at me, and I was just like, I was like, yeah. She's like, oh, you can sing. And then she like grabbed the guitar, which like my friend was just like, get out of the room. Like, we're doing a jam session, you know, whatever we were saying. And then she's like, shush, like, I need to hear this. And so she starts playing something. She's like, sing this. And then she's like, sing this. It was actually Candace was also a very poignant voice in my life for when I was 17. And it was kind of, you know, after my friends had passed away and I was really struggling in school, and I was feeling the pressure of going to university but not knowing what to study, and knowing that I actually wanted to sing but I didn't really know how to say that and just go after it. And she looked at me and she said, if you don't sing, something inside of you will die. And it really marked me, and it just felt really quite profound. Even though I didn't know, again, how all this was going to turn out and where it would end up, I just remembered that, like, there's actually such a gift, well, in music and singing for me personally, that unlocks something on the inside. And it made sense then why, when I was growing up you know, my mom would always say, like, I'd find you at the piano, like, something might happen, you might be frustrated, but when I'd find you at the piano, through obviously just worship and music, like, you would just be calmed and you would be at peace again, and you would then be able to, like, reintroduce yourself to the family, and you weren't, like, such a crazy person. So I'm thankful for Candace.
Right before you got here, I looked it up. Oceans.
Yeah.
311 million plus streams. Are you able to get your head around that?
No. But I know that from doing this for, you know, well, particularly singing Oceans since 2013, February. I remember because my life changed. I came on staff at church and I got to do this as a job, which is crazy and still spins me out when people are like, what do you do? I was like, sing, and I'm a pastor at a church, like, and just gauging where they're at, even on that whole journey of, like, what would you like me to explain first? What I've come to know is that those streams, like, the numbers are cool and impressive or whatever, but it actually represents people. I know what particular worship songs have done on the inside for me when growing up, and even now, that, you know, my go-tos that I put on that just minister and speak the truth and the word of who God is. So I'm honored that people would resonate with that song. And I didn't write it, so I also resonate with it as well. And to me, it was a gift from God because, you know, the song that I got given to steward was a song that I would need to continue to remind myself of, like, okay, well, God, if you've placed me here and you're asking me to step out beyond anything that I know, beyond, like, I hadn't even had singing lessons till I started, you know, touring and doing all, like, so it's like a whole other world, and, you know, never arenas full, like, it's just wild, you know. Then, God, I'm going to believe that you're going to grace me for this, and I'm going to believe that you're going to meet me. And this is actually, like, how kind of God that he doesn't just, like, tell us what he wants us to do and then just says, okay, now just get to it, like, and I'll catch you down the road. Like, he graces us for it and he anoints us for it and he walks with us. That's something in this new single that, like, the scripture around it is, like, Matthew 11, and it's verse 28, 29, 30. It's like, you know, are you worn down? Are you burnt out on religion? Like, come away with me. Like, come and walk with me. Come and watch how I do it and learn how I do this. I won't place anything ill-fitting or heavy on you. It's like that, you know, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so I just love that. God's kind. Maybe this is just a reminder for somebody that, like, if there's something that you feel just like, what, how are we going to do this? Like, God's going to give you the grace. He's going to show you the way to do it, but continue to put yourself in his presence and before him so that you can just heed his direction.
The debut solo album comes out in May.
Yes, the 27th.
27th of May. Yes. Who needs to hear this record?
When I asked God for a word at the top of writing this record 2 years ago, I wanted a word from him because I couldn't do it without him and I didn't want to. And the word was honey. And it's, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, it's to be like honey, that it's to be sweet, palatable, easy to digest, which in my mind, it's kind of all encompassing, that people from all walks of life, different backgrounds, ethnicities, races, like, ages. I even have a song on there called All, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say all these, like, things, but we're dropping it. Don't tell anyone. All About Jesus, I think, is just for my friend's kids. It's a really sweet, simple little song. It's 2 minutes, 45 seconds, but it just felt like the right thing to put on there. And so back to the honey word, that's meant to be sweet, palatable, easy to digest, and that as it goes down, honey actually has healing qualities, so that it would heal some deep things on the inside, perhaps wounds people didn't know that needed tending to. And so my prayer is that whoever listens to this, and again, I know it can sound funny when it's like, I hope everybody listens to it, but I'm like, I hope that whoever happens to stumble upon this or hear this in any shape or form and through radio stations like yourself, and I pray that it would be just that, that it would be sweet for people, that it would be healing, and perhaps the Lord wants to woo people, whether it's a Christian, whether it is someone who doesn't actually know the love of Jesus for themselves yet, or someone who perhaps through situations that have been out of their circumstances maybe have forgotten the love of Jesus or have been a little bit locked up on the inside, shout out Ron, that maybe this is a record that will soften them a little bit on the inside.
You have been a delight.
You're very kind. Thank you for having me.
When my troubles are a little too heavy. Who can I turn to share the weight? When my mind is clouded and cloudy, who can I turn to clear the way? Who can I turn to? I won't.
What Else with Corey Mann from the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play. Feel free to leave some feedback, write a review, or tell a friend about What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.